and what did they do, you know? Beginning for the seraphims. The seraphims are the attendants of the Lord of hosts. And they have special duties in calling attention to the holiness of the Lord. Let's turn to Isaiah, the 6th chapter. That's where they are mentioned in the Bible. Isaiah 6:1. So I said they are the attendants of the Lord of hosts. And they call attention to the holiness of the Almighty. Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord was in the vision now. Isaiah was in the vision and saw sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above his two there, the seraphims. There you go, the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With 2, he covered his face. And with 2, he covered his feet. And with 2, he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So their job is to call attention to the holiness of the Almighty God. So we see them right there. Another one is the cherubims. They are different, the cherubims. The cherubims are the living creatures, are the guardians of the throne of God. God set them to like that, and so that, you know, they are the guardians of the throne of God. And they are described in 2 places or in 2 visions that Ezekiel had. In Ezekiel chapter 1, and you know, I want to read a couple of verses from there, and I read in 10 also, the cherubim. So they are all living creatures. They are called, they are the guardians of the throne of God. Ezekiel 1:4. And I looked, and behold, a one wind come up of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber. You are going to be seeing beautiful things, and so on, the spirit world, especially around the throne of God, in the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. And verse 5 says, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of 4 living creatures, talking about the children of God, 4 living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had 4 faces, and everyone had 4 wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's feet, and they sparkled like the color of a burnished brass. How beautiful. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their 4 sides, and they therefore had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. Verse 10 says, and for the likeness of their faces, therefore had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and therefore had the face of an ox on the left side, therefore also had the face of an eagle. As you will see later, we will see them, another part of the Bible, as we go down here this morning, the spirit world, not to be tied to this material world that will soon perish and go away. Now, Ezekiel, the 10th chapter, so we see them right there. I call them the living creatures, right? So, but they are the same thing as the cherubims, as I'm going to see right now. They are the same thing. No, the second vision of Ezekiel in the 10th chapter, no, beginning from verse 8. And I appear in the cherubims. Now, it's changed the name now, but they are going to be the same thing, like the living creatures. And they appear in the cherubims, the form of a man's hand, under their wings. If you remember what I just read to you in the 4th chapter that I read right there, you know, their hands was under their wings, right? And when I looked, behold, the 4 wings by the cherubim, one wing by one cherub, and another wing by another cherub, and the appearance of the wings was as the color of berry stone, he says, this vision of Israel. And as for their appearance, they had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel, he said. And the verse 13 says, as for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing. He heard it in their vision. Oh, wheel, he said, you know. And verse 14, and everyone had four faces, the first, the face of a cherub, and the second face was the face of a man, and the third, the face of a lion, and the fourth, the face of an eagle, just like we read about the living creatures, right? And verse 15 says, and the cherubims were lifted up. And here what he says, this is the living creature that I saw by the river of Chebar in chapter 1. That was the same idea. They are the living creature. The same thing, you know. The 20th verse says, this is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Chebar. And I knew that they were the cherubims, he says, you know. In other words, the cherubims in Ezekiel chapter 10 are the same thing as the living creatures of chapter 1. And you know, that is the Old Testament that he saw this vision and so forth, as you know. What is that only place where these things are? In Revelation chapter 4, Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos was given a vision of the living creatures also. Talking about the spirit world now, you know, just take a trip to the spirit world around the throne of the living God by his word, you know. So we don't get attached to this physical world forever, you know. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 6, and before the throne, there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne, and around about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes, before and behind. See? And verse 7. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a living eagle, flying eagle. If you listen to what you read in Ezekiel, chapter 1 and 2. Now, verse 8 says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. So, and the commentary here, what King James called beasts here, is an unfortunate translation actually. You should call them the living creatures in the original, you know, not just beasts. And when he made beasts, it doesn't mean like a beastly thing and so on, that you know. It's because of their appearance that they interpret like that and so on. They are the same living creatures and so on, that you know. So literally, it should be rendered living worms. All living creatures, as we saw in Ezekiel 1 and 10 chapters and so forth. So the four beasts, or living creatures of Revelation 4, 6 to 8, differ from the living creatures of Ezekiel only in that each beast, instead of having four faces, they have only one, right? He has all kinds of beings around him in the throne and so, all kinds of manifestations that the Lord God of hosts has and so on, you know. So just taking a piece of the spiritual world around the throne of God, just to start with and so on. Other than that, the living creatures have identical symbols in both books. As in Revelation chapter 4, so in Ezekiel, there was a throne there, actually in Ezekiel 4, they were around the throne. There was by them the likeness of a throne, that's in Ezekiel 1:26, right? And above the firmament, he says, that was over their head, was the likeness of a throne, Ezekiel 1:26, right? As the appearance of a sapphire stone. All kind of beautiful things they are there around the throne of God. And upon the likeness of the throne, was the likeness of the appearance of a man above upon it, he said. So, in both visions, the glory of the Lord is manifest, as we see. And there is rainbow about the throne, in both cases, both in Ezekiel, you know, what Ezekiel saw the Lord open Abraham's just eyes to see the same thing. There was rainbow in both cases, because in Ezekiel 1:28 we are told, as the appearance of the bow, that's the rainbow, right? Bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about the throne. He says, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake, and so forth. In another remarkable similarity between the living creatures of Ezekiel, and of course Revelation 4 talking about the rainbow and the throne, right? So it's the same identical throne of God that they saw, right? In different dispensations, probably 700, 800 years have passed. God never changes. His throne is the same, and even I change it, not as so that, you know. So it's the same Lord, the same throne, and so forth. So another remarkable similarity between the living creatures of Ezekiel and the living creatures, or what is Jesus called the beast and so forth, is that in both cases, they are joined to the throne, where they perpetually give praise and glory to God. So we see right there, the seraphim, already mentioned in Ezekiel. We see the cherubims, mentioned here in Ezekiel and also in the book of Revelation. So let's see with another kind of beings, in the spirit world. How about the angels? These are the ones that are familiar with mankind, because they go back and forth, God sends them back and forth. For the cherubim and the seraphim, those are tied to the throne of the living God. That's it, and so on. But the angels, they are of a different being, and so on. Let's talk about them, because that is the one we are familiar with mostly, and so on. The angels are innumerable in number. See? Hebrews 12:22 says so. Just a tip to the spirit world. 12:22 of Hebrews. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, talking to the church now, and unto the city of the living God. Okay? The heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Never ever think that you are alone. Talking about the spirit world right now, they are all around us, the elect of God. You are never alone. Even the Lord himself says, I am with you always, right to the end of the world. We want to take a bit to see what is around you, why you should never be afraid of anything, of the devil, of only angel, and so forth. The angels, they are innumerable of them. And we are caught in that company of those. Now, more about angels. Angels are mighty in power, but they are not almighty. The Bible says so in 2 Thessalonians 1:7. The second phrase, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Yes, sir. The angels are mighty, with mighty angels. But they are not almighty. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is almighty. You know that? Revelation 1:8 says this. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, said the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Only him is almighty. That's mighty angels, yes? But only him, the Lord Jesus Christ, is almighty. Now, more about angels. Angels, they do excel in strength. Psalm 103:20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. You see, they excel in strength, the angels they do. See, and they are innumerable. The good angels and so on. Even after he thought of self-fair, we still have a number of them, the good angels. Now, to see how great in strength they are, one angel in one night destroyed 185,000 of the Assyrian army in one night. What happened in there in the 37th, chapter of Ezekiel, of Isaiah rather, there was this Assyrian king by the name of Sennacherib, a type of Goliath, a satanic, roof king and so on that, who has conquered all the nations around Jerusalem and so forth. He thought he would come to Jerusalem and so on and conquer Jerusalem and make that to be slave also. And he began to write letters to the king of Judah at that time, whose name was Ezekiah, and began to dictate what he should do and began to blaspheme God. Don't you ever think that's your God? They have heard that the God of Israel and so forth, what he does, that he can deliver. Don't you see that your God will deliver you? Go and ask the kings of other nations around you, have just, and begin to blaspheme God and so forth. And Hezekiah was a godly king. And he turned himself to begin to pray and call upon the name of the Lord. And while he was praying, you see, when you are praying, never know. God showed Isaiah the prophet and so on, that, you know. Tell it to him. Go and tell Hezekiah, the king of Judah, that you know what? I have had a blasphemy that Sennacherib said against me. Do not worry about him. I will take care of him. I myself will defend this city, said the Lord. The Lord told Isaiah the prophet to go and tell the king that way. While the king was still praying, God showed to the prophet, you know, he was a seer and so on, that he was telling him, I myself, you have to deal with this blasphemer and so forth. Anyway, so what happened right there in the 37th of Isaiah 36? Then the angel of the Lord went forth. In fact, the Lord told him that, I tell you, that king, when he comes, I will put a hook in his nose, and he will go by the way where he came from, the Lord said, and he won't even touch this city until the last, you know. And so it was. So here he's talking about the angel excelling in strength and in power, how powerful they are. Could be called the angel of the Lord. So here's what happened to 185,000 of the Sennacherib army and so forth. 37 of Isaiah 36. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. See? The angel of the Lord. What angel? The angel of the Lord slew 185,000. And don't forget, these angels are all around at the elect of God. I talk about that and so on, you know. So, and they are excelling strength and so that, you know. So, the Lord did it for them, and the city was delivered and so forth. Now, let's move forward about angels. That is the one we know most about. And angels rolled away the stone from the tomb of Christ in his resurrection and so on. Matthew 28 verse 2. Of course, not only on angels alone, but because we are used to those ones more than the ones that are on the throne. That's why I'm talking about them more a little bit. And Matthew 28 verse 2. And before there was a great earthquake at the resurrection of Christ. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone on the door and sat upon it. Now, and one angel at the future time shall bind Satan. Can you imagine that Satan that has tormented life, he's seen from the beginning, he lied from the beginning, he has lied to all the nations and so forth, that you know, to take just one angel. At the end of time, one angel that will bind Satan and cast him into the bottomless pit. Just one angel. That is in Revelation 20 verse 1. And I saw an angel, just one angel, come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he shall be loosed a little season. So don't be, I hear Christians say, the Lord should do something about the devil and so on. No, God has done all he has to do with the devil. He bruised his head according to the prophecy that back in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and so on, 3:15 and so on. The seed of the woman will bruise the head and so on. He's done it and so forth. He's just an angel is taken to cast into the bottomless pit. So don't come and say, Lord, the devil is doing it. No, you have to do something about the devil now. What do you have to do? Receive the devil, amen? And he will flee from you. Praise the Lord. It's not unheard of. Right? Oh, Lord, the devil and so on. Lord, come and do something. Come, won't do anything. He has done all he has to do with the devil. It's now left to you and I. I give unto you power. Luke 10:19. Over all the power of the enemy. I don't care what power Satan has. You have power over all the power of the enemy. No matter what skills you can come up, God foresaw everything from the beginning. And he has given unto you power over all the power of the enemy. So use it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So so we come to that one a little bit later and some that, you know. So we see that idea. Satan is a defeated foe. Only you magnify him by permitting him to do what he does. You know, Bible says if you resist him, he will flee. Not even wrong, he will flee away from you, not even walk, he will flee from you. He can't stand that name. See? Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see right here. Now, so angels are glorious beings too, you know. They are glorious. They are glorious beings. And we see in Luke 9:26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. But look at this phrase. When he shall come in his own glory, that's the glory of God, right? I said the angels of God are also glorious too. In his own glory. And in his Father's glory. And of also the angel, the holy angels. So we want to say about the angels, they are also glorious and so on. And so on that, you know. More about angels. Angels have great knowledge. We know that. But they are not omniscient though. Only God is omniscient. As powerful as they may excel in strength, they are not omniscient. Only God is omniscient. For one thing we know, they don't know. They don't know the day that the Lord will come for the church. Nobody knows it. So we see that there, he said in Matthew, that's right. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter of Matthew 30. So angels don't know. I'm in the wrong one. So anyway, it's Matthew 24:36. They don't know the day the Lord will come, but of that day and hour, meaning the time of the coming of the Lord, second coming, and so on, knoweth no man, no, nor the angels of heaven, not even the angels who have been with him for eons of years, know the day that the Lord will come back again. They don't know it. So and so on, but my Father only, you see. So if anybody says, you know, the Lord is coming, lies to you and so on. Now, angels never marry, or are they given a marriage at all? Matthew 22:30. For in the resurrection, they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are the angels of God in heaven. So we know about that thing, they don't marry, they don't get marriage and so on. We know that. Angels are executioners. Talking about the spirit world. They are executioners of God's wrath on the wicked. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. If you are troubled on anything, rest with the word of God, amen. Fret not yourself because of the wicked. Rest ye in the Lord, amen. David said to us in another place and so on. If you are troubled and so on, the apostle said, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord will use angels as executioners of judgment at the end of time. Where it is a time of grace, that door is closing very fast. That the door of the ark in the days of Noah, where the Lord even likened the end of time to the days of Noah and so on. No, the Lord himself shut that door of the ark, right? So he let us witness as many as we could. You see? Let not be like Ezekiel. The Bible says, if the wicked should die and you don't want him, then shall his blood be upon your hand. But when you witness to them, they will not all receive the gospel. Don't be bashful. He didn't say they will all receive the gospel. They may even abuse you. They may even curse you and so on like that. You know, when you witness to them and so on like that, you know, doesn't make a difference. But because they witness, you know, and their blood will not be upon our hand. So we see that right there. So talking about these angels and so on, there's more about them. We can't cover the subject of angels altogether, but I'll take it. Angels will gather the God's elect from the four corners of the earth. Matthew 24, maybe tribulation says, and so 24 of Matthew verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and he shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one corner, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, another thing that the angels do, angels are ministering spirits, see, to you and I, to them who are the heirs of salvation. They are made to minister to you and I, spirit word, right? You think you are alone? No. You are in the midst of innumerable company of angels. They are going back and forth and something like that, you know. That's why we should even watch what we do on this earth as Christians and something like that, you know. So let us watch. So Hebrews 1:13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And we can even see some of the administration right now. Psalm 91, a psalm designed, I believe, for the end of the age, more than any other time in the history of mankind. I can't read all of it, but even angels are involved at the end time affair of the elect. Ministry to the saints of God. Here is going to ask how they minister one way. Psalm 91 says, there shall not even before thee, don't worry, about, don't be perplexed about the things that are happening in the world. There shall not even before thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. I always say, when I see the word all in the Bible, I just rejoice. Amen? It's all encompassing. It's all inclusive. Whether I'm traveling, I mean, take this verse with you. I don't have to fear a plane crash. He will give his angels charge over me and you to keep you in all your ways. When you are driving, he has given his angels charge right to keep you in all your ways. In your place of work, oh, much more so in these days of terrible things and so on. You know, be afraid of the arrow that flies by day, the guns, and the destruction that's wasted at noontime. You won't be afraid. Why? He has given his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Now, so we see that there. Psalm 34, even the angel of the Lord himself, watch this one. So 34:7 of Psalms. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Can you imagine the angel of the Lord encamps around you? You know, it doesn't come, it doesn't go. You see? So you don't walk by sight, all is by faith, you know, by faith. This is the spirit world, right? You come to your bodies later. What you do with your body, we'll come to that one later. But now it's there. I will never give you up. Take this. I'm with you always, yes, to the end of the world. Angels are commissioned to supply the physical needs of God's people. Yes, they were commissioned to do that. And I read one instance in the Bible. The Elijah the prophet, I will take time to read a few verses in there. Yes, they are commissioned to supply the physical needs of God's people. 1 Kings 19, verse 4. But Elijah himself went a day's journey, running away and so on from Jezebel and so on, you know, into the wilderness. You know, he was then persecuted, right, for righteousness, for having done exploits in the name of Jehovah, the first accuser, the first religion of his day. Now they will persecute at this end time the true seed and so on. The seed of the wicked always persecute the righteous, right from the blood of Abel, the blood of Zechariah and so on, that perished between the temple and so on. Anyway, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, talking of angels ministering the physical needs of God's people and so on. And then he requested that, for instance, he was so discouraged that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not even better than my father. Verse 5 says, and then as he lay and slept, can you see in your hour of discouragement, don't forget the angel of the Lord is right there with you, eh? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Whether you see him or not is immaterial. Amen? Praise the Lord. So this man was discouraged to the core. He didn't want to live anymore. But God had a different plan for him. So he lay down and slept under a juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking. An angel baking cake, for that time God care for you and I. You know, he care for you and I. Even nobody cares of your head, right? You know, a cake baking. So, you know, on the coast and the cruise of water. Water in the wilderness, they are the angels, they are ministering spirits, right? You know, of water upon his head. And he did eat and drink and lay him down again. Not one time, watch again. He did it again. And the angel of the Lord, verse 7 says, came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto only the mount of God. So you see, he cares for his people. He came yesterday, today, and forevermore. So, yeah, they are commissioned to supply the physical needs of God's people. That's one instance. Now, Now, let me just take a break now. The seraphim, I'm talking about the seraphim, the cherubims, and the angels. All these other heavenly beings, they are all created beings. The seraphim, they were created, cherubims are created, and angels, they were created. Now, they did not exist all from eternity, no. Because in Colossians 1:16, we are told they were all created. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him," meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, "were all things created that are in heaven." It could be the seraphim, could be cherubims. They were all created beings, right? In heaven, heaven, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. So only our Lord Jesus Christ has neither beginning of days nor the ending of life. Only the Lord, no beginning of days, no ending of life. Hebrews 7:3. Only our Lord Jesus Christ is high and lofty, high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. Isaiah 57:15. All these other things I'm telling you about, seraphim, cherubim, they were all created by the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful he is. Now, let's mention another kind of people in the spirit world. Demons, you know. I won't talk so much about him so much, but I will still talk because you have to do something about them too. Demons are not to be classed as really angels, really. They appear to be embodied spirits. They are a disembodied spirit. These demons are so home. And they always seek the embodiment in the body of man, where they can express their ugly and unclean habits and stuff like that, you know. And some people think that these demons are all the way from the Adamic world. Some believe that they came from the Adamic world and they are disembodied, you know, and they are looking for embodiment, you know. Something like that, you know. Now, so you see, they are wicked. Demons are wicked. They are unclean. They are vicious. And have power to derange both mind and body. And it's happening all over the world. All the evil you are seeing in the world today, most of them are manifestation of demons that are taking possession of people. That's what is really happening and so on, you know. They can derange the mind, the body and so on. When the 18-year-old boy is doing what people are adults will do and so on, all the guns and so on, it's out of his right mind. I don't know that, you know. So anyway, so let's talk a little bit about them, a people into the spirit world, so we have a better understanding of the time we are living in. Talking about the angels already. Now, so the Lord Jesus Christ there with them throughout his ministry on earth here. Let me read about two or three of them, you know, in Matthew 12, telling you how wicked demons are, how oppressive they are, and I don't know that, you know, in Matthew 12, 22, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil. Blind, look at that devil. The man was blind, the man was dumb, all because of the oppression of the devil, right? And the Bible says, and he healed him in so much that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. We are seeing how vicious, how terrible demons are, and some of that, you know. And the Lord encountered him throughout his ministry. Another way, in Luke 4:33, and in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of unclean devil. Like I said, they are unclean, unclean spirit, right? Unclean devil. And cried out with a loud voice. That's the fourth verse. Saying, let us alone. You know, they can speak. We heard them speak. Even in our own days and so we heard them speak. Demons speak and so we heard them speak. And then, you know, just like in the days of Christ. You know, and something like that. You know, they haven't changed. You know. So anyway, and you know, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? They knew who Jesus was. They knew who Jesus is. Can you imagine? You know, they do. And so on. And thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the only one of God. They know who the Lord Jesus is and so on. And they know that time of destruction is coming. In one place, they say, are you going to destroy us before our time? Bible says in Revelation 12:12, the devil knows that his time is short, right? He had but a short time. So they must know the same thing. Because the Lord, that angel will cast the devil out after the bottomless pit. Then later, 1,000 years later, to the lake of fire, him and his angel, the false prophet, and some of that, you know, at the end of time. Anyway, so, and then what happened there? So the Lord dealt with them throughout his ministry and so on. So anyway, so, and the Lord Jesus, verse 35, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold at it, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he did the last act, right? He's so wicked, you know, he's like this and so on, in this. He came out of him and hurt him not. One more instance of how the Lord dealt with these demons and so forth, demons and so on, in Luke 9:38. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. Can you see that demons can oppress my only child? And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly cry out, and he teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him. See what demons do? So when you look at our society today, you will now know what is happening. So, you know, bruising him, and highly departed from him and so on. When they have a place where they can embody themselves, they don't want to leave. No, they don't want to have to force them out. And only the name of Jesus, we'll come to that later and so on, that, you know. Anyway, departed not from him and so on. And verse 42 says, as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. So we just take a peep about the demons and so on, that, you know. So this is part of the spirit world, right? The wicked one and so on, that, you know. Now talking to end of this demon thing. Now, don't leave the casting out of demons to Jesus Christ alone. He gave us authority. You know, like I said before in Luke 10:19, and let me tell you, the Great Commission, the Lord gave us to the believer, the authority of the believer. And the Lord put at the number one of what we can do in his name. Let me tell you in Mark 16, by the 17th verse. The Lord commissioned the church. All believers, nobody is left out. Not the pastor, not the prophet alone, not the evangelist alone. All believers, you know. Now, Mark 16, 17. And these signs shall follow them that is the qualification, them that believe, all Christians, the believers and so on, that, you know, that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. He put us at the head of the sin. He encountered it throughout his ministry. He has delivered unto you and I the same ministry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The same ministry. You know, and so on, that, you know. Whether we are doing it or not, it's a different story anyway. But you have the authority as a Christian. You have the power to be given unto you. I can give you, I mean, $1,000 and whatever and so on. You can talk it under your bed and still be hungry and don't buy anything with it. Doesn't mean that you don't have the money. You got it, you know. You have to use it and so on, that, you know. Anyway, give us the power of his name. Now, so we see that now, so all people, all God's children can cast out demons. So let me read other things we can do in his name to us this morning, to remind us, to refresh us. They shall speak with new tongues. Many Christians do that. Maybe they are afraid of casting out demons. The same authority that gives you power to speak in tongues, right? Don't forget now, even speaking in tongues belongs to all believers. So if you haven't spoken in tongues, you can. Because the Lord said you can. Amen? Praise the Lord. I say if you haven't spoken in tongues, you can if you want to. Because the Lord said you can. You see? So anyway, to us all believers. So later on, I think one of these days, have some Holy Ghost things that you just pray ahead of time. Talk about things about the Holy Ghost and so on again, you know. So I go ahead. Anyway, they shall take off serpents, he said, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. See what a day we are living in. The Lord put this creature for a purpose. Everything in this world is polluted. The air is polluted, industrial pollution, your water is polluted, whether we like it or not, and so on. As you know, the air, the water, everything is polluted and so on. The Lord put the scripture here. We don't tempt the Lord. I don't go and take cyanide to come and tempt the Lord. No. But if you put something in my thing, I don't know anything about it. Jesus says, you don't hurt me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Heaven and earth shall pass away. God's word won't pass away. You know why he put the scriptures here? They are for you and me, this and something that, you know. So anyway, let us make use of what belongs unto us in the Lord Jesus. And It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's for every believer, right? You know, they shall lay hands on the sick. Why many sick cannot get to recover? Because they don't get hands laid upon them. Or when people lay hands, you see, now maybe later they doubt down the road. To me, it's an abandonment to God. This thing, God says so, right? You just abandon yourself to God. If you are sick and you have a believer lay hand upon you, God says you will recover, right?
That's right.
You stay right there, immaterial, irrespective of your symptoms, irrespective of your feelings. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, let's move on as now. So not only we are given power to cast out demons too and so on that, you know. So now let me just go ahead about the spirit world. So there are three prominent personages spoken of in scripture outside of the triune God. I'll talk about the triune God later. I want to quickly rush now. Other personage, that's a personage called Michael in the Bible. It's a personage. Michael is mentioned three times in the book of Daniel. Three times in the book of Daniel. One. So Daniel was in prayer. He never knew what was happening for 3 whole weeks. Doesn't know what will happen to his prayer. He didn't quit anyway. So another way to see the spiritual world is to see this chapter 10 of book of Daniel. You see behind the scenes, the spirit world, what is happening and so on and that, you know. How demon power, satanic hierarchy, can really get in the way of the saints' prayer and so on. And nevertheless, he was praying, he didn't know what was happening, he didn't quit, you know, just pray. But later on, God will send to him a heavenly messenger. Let's see what happened in there really quickly. Talking about Michael, right? So the heavenly messenger sent to Daniel, gave the reason why the answer to Daniel's prayer was delayed. Daniel 10:13. But the prince, the heavenly messenger, he said to Daniel, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. That's another heavenly messenger. Mm-hmm. 120 days. Now watch. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, no worship, talking about Michael, right? One of the chief princes came to help me. Can you see one heavenly being come to help another heavenly being? We'll talk about him right now. Came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Verse 21 says, second place where it was mentioned, this Michael, you know, in the book of Daniel, second place in verse 21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. Not the word prince, chief prince, prince, chief prince. Talk about it later and so on. Associated with Michael and so on that, you know. Now, the third time, it was mentioned in the book of Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time, shall Michael stand up. Now, watch again. He mentioned the word prince, the great prince. Always with the word prince and so on, the great prince. We stand there for the children of thy people, meaning the Jews. And that shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people, meaning the Jews, shall be delivered, even everyone that shall be found written in the book, and so on. So we see Michael right there, mentioned three times right there. He called him the prince, the chief prince, right? You know, Michael. Now, he is seen again. He is seen in command of the angelic army of heaven. Michael was. He was the commander of the angelic army of heaven. His work seemed to be to deliver God's people, meaning the Jews in particular, from the power of Satan. And finally, to oust Satan and his angels from the heavenlies and cast them out to the earth. Revelation 12:7 says this. And there was war in heaven. Michael, he was the commander of the army of heaven, right? Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. Verse 8 says, and he prevailed not, the devil did not prevail, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So Michael was the chief commander of the army of heaven. So we see him right there. Now, so He also has something to do with the resurrection of the dead. This same Michael has something to do with the resurrection of the dead. First of all, we see that, you know, when Moses died, God already said that nobody knew his burial place and so forth. What happened to him? We know in so many scriptures that God himself raised up Moses and so on. That, you know, he didn't even let the children of Israel know where Moses should be buried and so on. That, you know, but we know in the summary, the Lord buried him and the Lord raised him up, resurrected him. In Jude 1:9, Michael was involved because we are told, yes, Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a very accusation or say the law is guilty. So he was involved in the resurrection, the raising up of Moses and so on, that, you know. Now, I read to you before in Daniel 12, verse 1, how that Michael was involved with the resurrection, right? And let me just quickly read that Daniel 12, 1 and 2 again quickly to see how he was involved with the resurrection. And at that time, Daniel shall stand up, the great prince, we stand there for the prince, children of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, he says, and such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, and at that time, that people shall be delivered, he says, everyone that stands found a book of life. Look at verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the doors of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Michael was involved right there, the first verse and so on, that, you know. Michael shall stand up and so on, that connection with the resurrection and so forth. Now, the resurrection of the New Testament saints, first fruit saints of the New Testament, is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to read just one verse there, the 16th verse, talking about how Michael is connected with the resurrection throughout the Bible. Then we can probably say, and just nail it down. Verse 16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice, very important, with the voice of the archangel. He didn't say with the voice of an archangel, did he? He said with the voice of the archangel. Okay, let's answer that, you know. And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise forth. Now, here we are told that the Lord Jesus Christ will descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel. And we know Michael is the only angel in the old Bible who was titled an archangel. Throughout the old Bible, only Michael was titled archangel. No other one in the old Bible. And that is in Jude 1 that I read to you before. Only Michael. So anyway, so we see right there. So he is connected with the resurrection, right? So he's the only one. And the Lord come with the voice of the archangel. So what does that mean to us? And it is connected with the resurrection. And we know that the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, right? That's what he says. The Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life, the Lord said. And so we see right there. So we can therefore, with all this I just tell you now, we can therefore say without fear of contradiction of scripture that Michael is actually the Lord Jesus Christ, he is among the angels, without fear of contradiction of scripture whatsoever, you know. So from what I just told you now, there is only one angel, Michael, who was ever titled an archangel. That is in Jude 9. You can search your Bible for it and so on. Anyway, so the Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. All over the place, of course, the Lord said in another place, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. See? And they that shall hear, shall live. John 5:25 says so. John 11:43. And when, concerning Lazarus and so forth, you know, listening of Lazarus and so on, and when he does have spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And verse 44 says, and he that was dead came forth. So when he's coming for the rapture, he's coming with the voice of the archangel. See, the Lord Jesus, you know, and so on. That, you know, I know that Michael is nothing short than the Lord himself in angelic form. See, Michael is referred to like I said before, in Daniel 12:1, like I said before, as the great prince, right? Another reason why we say it is the Lord, and so on. I'm not idiot. You know that I told you before. Notice the word great prince always associated with Michael, right? In Michael 12, Michael was in Daniel 12:1, Michael was called the great prince, and in Daniel 10:13, he was called one Michael, one of the chief princes, and in Daniel 10:21, Michael, your prince. And the Lord Jesus Christ was referred to as the prince of the kings of the earth. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. And the prince, there you go, the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and has washed us from our sins in his own blood. So we see that here. Thus, God was secretly hidden among the angels. When it's in the angelic form, many times in the Bible, when it's in the angelic form, the Lord is even called the angel of God. Yeah, that's right. It's even called the angel of God when he appears in the angelic form. I can give some instances. Such was the case when the children of Israel were crossing the Red Sea, what we call the Red Sea. The Lord appeared in the fire and so on, in the cloud. And let me quickly read that one to you and so on. Just so in Exodus 14:19. And the angel of the he called it angel of God, right? And the angel of God, you know, so he can be called the angel of God when he appears in the angelic form, right? And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Look at the 34th verse. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through what? The pillar of fire. It was called the angel of God in the first verse, right? Through the pillar of fire, the same personage, right? The Lord, I call it the Lord. So hidden among the angels. So we know who Michael is, you know. One of your chief princes and so on, that you know. Anyway, so we see right here. So, and even another place where even they call the Lord when he appears as an angel and so on, you know, and he is God, right? Now, Manoah, when Samson was to be born, how the angel, an angel, appeared to Manoah, you know, and so on, that you know. And he sacrificed unto God, and the angel of the Lord appeared, and he ascended in the smoke of that smoke and so on, that you know. Oh, and Manoah told his wife in Judges chapter 13, 13th of Judges 13, so verse 22. And Manoah said unto his wife, now it was the angel that was they saw before, right? But watch this. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. You see that? So the angel they saw, right? But you know it's God. So God can appear in angelic form. And we believe that was who Michael was and so on. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering from us. So we see even sometimes, the angel of the Lord is called God. So we see that right here. Now let me go to another personage quickly. Gabriel, another personage. Talking about spiritual world, right? We talk about the throne, talking about the angels and so forth and that, you know. Another personage in heaven, Gabriel. Gabriel is mentioned by name four times. Twice in the book of Daniel, that's the book of Daniel. He was an angel to the Jews, actually, really, to the Jewish people, really, and so on, that you know. Anyway, he was mentioned four times, twice in the book of Daniel, and twice in the Gospel of Luke. It seems to be associated with the redemption, with the redemptive work of God. That's what Gabriel we see him doing in the Bible. First of all, he appeared to Daniel, and to give him understanding of the vision of the ram and the eagle in Daniel 8. He was in a vision and so on. An extension of what King Nebuchadnezzar saw in the four meters and so on. In Daniel chapter 8, he saw this ram with two arms, one longer than the other and so on. And then he saw another one, saw an eagle with its horn between the two eyes and so forth. Now he was confused, what is this and so on. Here what happened. Now, then, the messenger said to him in Daniel chapter 8, verse 16, and I heard a man's voice between the banks
of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. You know, begin to explain to him that rabbit too on, that's your media and the Persia. You see, and some of that, you know, and the eagle, Alexander, the Grecian Empire, Alexander the Great, and so forth, and the Iran and Russia, the media and the Persian Empire, and some of that, you know, and even his notable form was broken, and four kings arose out of his denial. Alexander the Great, 33 years old. Drunken and so for orgies and died of poison. Anyway, so we go. So we see Gabriel was that interpret the vision to tell it what it meant and so on. So now, is that the end of Gabriel? No, two times in the book of Daniel and so on. So anyway, again, Gabriel appeared to inform Daniel of the time of Christ's birth. Yes, 700 years before, Daniel get to know the time of the coming of the Messiah. So Gabriel was sent to do that. So we see in Daniel 9:21-27, I can't read everything, but here is what I'm talking about. In Daniel 9:21, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me, and about the time of the evening oblation, Job 25, where he begins to tell us the time the Messiah will come. See? Now, 25. Know therefore, I understand that for the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, for the time the temple was to be built, all the way that the Messiah will come will be 2 weeks, and will be 2 weeks, he says, and so altogether 61 weeks altogether and so on. He gave the day points. That's for the time they begin to build the temple and so on, 7 and then 62. That's 69 weeks, right? Right to the point, 483 years later, the Messiah appeared on the scene, just as Gabriel said he would. So now, when the time for Christ to be born was at hand, guess who showed up again to announce the coming of the Messiah? Gabriel came again. That's in there. So, and when the time had come for Christ, the Messiah, to be born, Gabriel announced to Zechariah, the priest, the birth of John the Baptist, who is to be Christ's forerunner. That's in Luke chapter 1, verse 18. And Zechariah said, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby he was old now, and his wife were very old, they had given hope of having any children. As I already prophesied that there be a forerunner to Christ, right? And 118. And Zechariah, Luke 118. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this thing? For I am old, and my wife was stricken in years. Jump to verse 19, right? And the angel answered, said unto him, what are you talking about? I'm Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God. See? And I'm sent to speak unto thee and to show thee this glad tidings. He flew swiftly. In the days of Daniel, he flew swiftly. Was born from the presence of God, right? Talking about the spirit world. Don't be locked into this physical world. We're going to pass away very soon, you know. We're going to move into eternity very soon. Boom! Time shall be no more. See? Now, and then later, that means Gabriel appeared to Virgin Mary to announce the birth of Christ. So we see in Luke 1:26. And then in the sixth month, meaning since he appeared to Zechariah, right? The angel Gabriel, here you go, was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, and to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. It was Gabriel who announced, he told Daniel the timing of the coming of the Messiah, 730 years before. When the time was right, he announced the forerunner, and he came again, and he announced the birth of Christ and so forth. So Gabriel did all those kind of things. So what a lofty position Gabriel had in heaven. Because he said, he even boasted, he said, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God of the whole heart. What a lucky position. So we see Gabriel in there. I can't round up here. The spirit world, right? You know, so now there is another one I want to talk about, but I won't take time on him. It's Satan. I won't say so much about him and so on. Satan. We will not talk about him much. What I will say is this. He is the source of all the anarchy and rebellion in the whole universe. That's what I will say about him. Because soon he will be no more. Anyway, so now, how about man himself? talking about the spirit world. Man, in relation to the spirit world, man was made for two worlds, the physical and the spirit world. But many are tied to this physical world, as long as you know. And we are told of makeup of man in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23. God told us the makeup of man. I pray God, your whole spirit, that's one part of man, and the same one man, and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So put in your mind now, spirit, soul and body, right? That the only scripture? No. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick. That means alive. God's word is alive. When you say the word is quick, quicken, Bible says we are quickened with him, made alive with him. That quick means alive. God's word is alive. And it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, which we hear before, that is one more. And of the joints and marrow, that is body. That's right. So, and it's discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. So we got this scripture that talks about the makeup of man, spirit, soul and body, right? So we see that from these references, we see that man is triune. That's right. He is triune. I believe this way. He has a spirit. He has a soul. And he lives in a body. That's what the Bible says right here. So when we receive Christ, when one receives Christ, he or she is born again. That's what the Bible says. Born again. And is given power to become a son of God. That's how we call the son of God. By the new birth. Even we are told in John chapter 1 verse 12, who was born again? Your spirit was born again when you received Christ, right? John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. So from that one time onward, when you are born again, then you cannot contact God. You can only contact God with your spirit. What people fail is they want to reach God with their body, with their senses. That won't cut it, you know. You can only reach God through your spirit when you are born again. That's the only way to reach God, really, you know. God is a spirit, right? John 4:24. God is a spirit. Let us worship him. Must worship him in spirit and in truth. See? How can you worship spirit with flesh? Can't do it. Anyway, so we see that now. So the spirit world, right? Taking different kind of, all kind of things like this morning and so on, you know. So the body is strictly subject to the law of the physical universe. And you only interact with your physical, with a physical body. You contact God with your spirit. Now let me end this quickly with God himself, real quickly. And sorry, I'm taking the time here and so on. God, even himself, is triune. That's why he has three offices. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is triune. Not Trinity now. Trinity said there are three in the Godhead. No, that is wrong. That's a monster, isn't it? No, like a beast. Like, I don't know. It is triune. So, now, Isaiah 19 begins to tell us, 19, the triunity of God. Isaiah 19, for unto us a child is born. Yeah, he was a child. Unto us a son is given. He won't name, he won't be a woman. You know, that child will be a son, right? He named it, he hammered the nail on the head, right? And he gave him. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. So, the Prince of Peace, Triunity of God. He is the Son. He is the Holy Ghost. He is the Father and Son, as you know. Now, in John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And we know who is the Word. In John 1, in the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. And he dwelt among God. So in heaven, what do you find in heaven? You find the Father, the Word, the same Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. Bible says, and these three are one. You can't divide it, you know. So we see in Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth, meaning the Lord Jesus, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So we see that there. So now, in John 14, verse 8, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and he converted us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you? And yet, hast not know me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How can we miss it? Can't miss it. Unless those who want to miss it, right? How seest thou this? Show us the Father. Even in Luke 9:48. Whosoever shall receive me, receiveth him that sent me. He's always talking about him that sent him, right? But he says, you have seen me, you have seen him that sent me. That's what he says. Luke 9:48, the second phrase, and there. Even more in John 12:45. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. How can you miss it? He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. So when you hear the word, the Lord Father sent me, he's telling you in so many, many scriptures. If you have seen, you have seen the Father. You see it right here. In John 10:30, even in John 10:30, last scripture also about that. I and my Father are one. See? So, in the spirit world, right? Stop looking at the material thing, you know, and so on. The natural thing will soon pass away. The thing which cannot say they are eternal, right? So, anyway. So, now. In finishing all this morning, we have seen this, a little bit to this, just a peep into the spirit world, a peek into the spirit world, right? And we see how great our God is and so forth. You can't be in that. You can't by understanding like that and so on, that you know, only as he received revealed himself in the word of God. So this morning you see how great our God is. He can appear in so many manifestations and so forth, infinite and so on like that, you know, and so on like that, you know. So this morning, what do you need from God? I'm going to end this way. Just taking a peek into what do you need this morning, you know, and so on. You can receive all of them from him, the Lord Jesus, by asking the Father in his name. So in John 14:13, finishing this morning, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, we have said all these things this morning to see how great our God is, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14 says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Point blank. The gospel and the word of the Lord is positive. Matthew 21:22. And all things, don't forget my saying, when I hear all things, I'm always happy. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer believing, you shall receive it. All things you shall ask in prayer, you shall receive it. The Bible says so. John 16:23-24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. Now there's no more confusion about Father and the Son anymore, right? He has clarified the way for us, right? So anyway, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And look at the clause. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. People think that we are pleasing God when they are unhappy and so on. No, he wants your joy to be full. That's what he came for. I came that they might have life. I have it more abundantly. That's what he came for. And some of that, you know, that scripture, John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Pray be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. You don't want to be of them who are locked to the physical world. By the Holy Spirit and the word of God, we are enabled this morning a little bit to peek into the spirit world and see what wondrous things are the Almighty God has. And we are said, Bible says the way he make us, Bible says and so on, the way he made us, the Bible says, they begin to, in Psalm 139, Bible says that how he was made and so on, and even the creation of man, what a mystery, you know, and so on. Wonderful they made, he said and so on, that, you know. So, therefore, Lord, we thank you for refreshing our understanding, you know, of the spirit world, just in a nutshell this morning. And thank you for the word of promise. All things are ours. One scripture says so. The Bible says we are heirs of God. We are joined here with Christ. And all that God has is ours. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed, all mine is thine, and all thine is mine. And as the Father has sent me, so I have sent you also. All things are ours also. Just for the asking the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, all these requests in our heart this morning, we are told, even in Romans 8, we don't even know how to pray as we ought. Yeah, we pray sometimes, but we don't even know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For all this will glorify your name, So therefore we are complete in you with the head of all principality and power. So I commit all the requests of our heart this morning, as we are sitting here this morning. The Spirit starts the heart. He knows what is in the mind of the Spirit. So I commit all the needs to your hand this morning, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Starting on Philippians 4:19, I believe it is, my God shall supply all your needs, not some of them, all our needs, according to his riches in glory. Father, that the Father may be glorified in the Son this morning. Answer this request, Lord, O God, unspeakable request. Answer them, Lord, that our joy may be full. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Receive all the glory. Father, in Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.